and I didn't feel that bank account devotee actually got a full picture of what is taking place in the airport. Because we actually haven't had a Sankirtan class of this nature in a long time, one where we demonstrate a little bit how we're distributing books. So we were doing a little bit more along the lines of the way we used to do it 4 or 5 years ago, and we never got to the actual juice. And actually, devotees like Suradas and Vaisheshika, Guru Tamaprabhu, are so full of juice and nectar that this is actually how the conditioned souls are taking these books. So many senior Sankirtan devotees were there yesterday, so I felt that it wasn't really very necessary, later considering, you know, to discuss how we give them change for a bill, and, I mean, too intimately, but we just had very little time. So there's no loss there, but we want to also describe a little bit the mood of a preacher on Sankirtan, from the point of view of the Sankirtan devotee himself or herself. Actually, once one devotee, or not a devotee, but a karmi on Sankirtan, I showed him the Bhagavad Gita, and I was explaining that this Bhagavad Gita is a book which is actually meant for people who want to become the friend of everyone. Because everybody likes to have so many friends. So this book is actually meant to give you an opportunity to deal with your friends in a very, very wonderful way. And immediately he responded, well, you know what you ought to read? We've all had this experience. I sometimes tell you, you know, I got a book for you. How to Win Friends and Influence People by so-and-so and such-and-such. And I said, oh, that sounds wonderful. And then I gave him the book. He gave some donation after the exchange. And then I thought later that who was more influential or who was the greater friend to anyone than Srila Prabhupada. His technique for becoming everyone's friend was so pure and simple because it was just like Krishna, who was on the spiritual platform. So that is actually the means of becoming very enlivened book distributor, because actually that is what will distribute, ultimately that is what will distribute the books. When the devotee is so much enlivened by experiencing Krishna that he will actually be able to distribute the fruits of love of Godhead by his contact with Krishna, he will desire so strongly to give Krishna's association to the conditioned souls that Krishna, he feels obliged to make all arrangements for that devotee. Just like I was realizing while we were chanting here, we chanted for an hour and a half. No one was feeling tired. No one had any trouble with their mind. I didn't see any brahmachari in the back asking another brahmachari to preach to me for what. I want to go back to my room. I'm having a little trouble with my mind. Not like that. No one was experiencing that. Like on Sankirtan, sometimes the devotees say, oh, you got to preach to me. I really am I'm blown out. I'm really, you know, I hate these karmis. I'm starting to hate them, you know. Devotees say like that. We all say like that sometimes. All of us feel that as soon as we get on the bodily concept. We become bewildered. And we're forgetting that Krishna is actually lining everyone up to come to us. All the pious conditioned souls, he's lining them up. And he's making arrangements for us to meet them on Sankirtan. That is actually what's taking place. And it's not really by some trick. Although we employ so many different means, but actually, as Gurudev and I were discussing these last 3 weeks in Chicago, actually it is only the really the pious people who take the books and give donations. And those who are too impious, no matter what you say or how you approach them, it's not possible to give them a book at this particular time. So we become bewildered thinking that, just like sometimes in Chicago, the airport is very large and is very spread out. We have to walk a lot from one side to the other to catch the sweeter times in the day, because although there are millions and millions of people coming through the airport every single day, sometimes it's just overwhelmingly, it's like a circus. No one will stop, and no one, and they've seen us a thousand times in every other airport, and it's just, you know, you see 40, one out of 30 servicemen will stop and talk to you, and out of those, Manusyanam Sahasreshu Kastid Yatati Siddhai, out of those, hardly one knows what you're talking about and will pitch in a donation. So sometimes I become a little bewildered. I run down from American Airlines, I go to United. Nothing happening at United. I go down to International, nothing happening here. And I go back to TWA, or nothing's happening here. Maybe it's down in the baggage claim, and I go downstairs in the baggage claim, and well, it's not up here. Maybe it was up at American after all, and I go back up to American, and you know, and try to find that pious soul. And if things are really going, becoming more and more difficult, then sometimes the tendency is to forget Krishna more and more. And pretty soon, maybe I'm speaking too fast. I'll slow down. Maybe I'm speaking too slow. I'll speed up. Maybe this is a dry line. Then you start listening to the copy and the other devotees and finding what he's saying, and that's not working. And pretty soon you're out on a limb. Actually, you've tried everything, and you're actually completely hopeless. At that point, you turn around, and boom, there he is. You know, the pious soul, and you put the book in his hand, and you say something, and you don't even know what you say. You just say it, and he takes the book. But the more we become conscious, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, that the more we become conscious of him, then the easier it is to cross over all of the difficulties or obstacles of material existence. The more we become conscious of Krishna. So we have to practice becoming conscious of Krishna on Sankirtan, and that is actually the method. Because by becoming conscious of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is after all the most famous person, isn't he? And he's the most beautiful person, and he's the most intelligent person, and in so many ways he can manifest so many opulences. So, and because he is the most famous person, everyone knows about him. Therefore, if you want to find something that everyone knows about, then the best thing to speak about is Krishna. Sometimes we want to speak about something that the person will be able to identify with or relate with. And everyone can relate with God, even the atheists, even those who don't believe in God. They can actually relate with Krishna. They have a relationship. A theist, the atheist, is someone who just thinks conversely or inversely. From the mentality of the theist. And his consciousness is dependent upon the theist. He can't think that he's an atheist without first hearing that there may be God. He has to have heard all about God first, and then decided that I don't believe in God. That's all. So, if a person says in the airport, or in the parking lot, or anywhere, that I don't believe in God, then we simply say, well, what do you believe in? What do you put your faith in? I'll stop them very quickly and say, really? Well, what do you put your faith in? And they, because it's such a an amazing question in the middle of a public place, that actually it is very unique subject matter. Krishna, God, is very unique subject matter. People are trying constantly to avoid this very subject within their own life. But when they meet someone who's actually speaking about it in a very, very convincing manner, a very enlightened manner, then they become very curious. Who is this person? And he doesn't sound like a nut. So let me inquire. What is this? And that mentality comes out in your mind. So, and it will manifest itself in inquiry if they're pious. If they're impious, like it's described in Bhagavad Gita, that, oh Hrishikesh, the whole world becomes joyful upon hearing your name, and only the demons flee in fear. The whole world becomes joyful. Everyone is looking for a shred of hope that there is something beyond this material body, there's something beyond this material life. Everyone is looking for that. Just like now we were reading the other day in Chicago, there's one article in a magazine, a recent magazine, that the second most talked about subject, I don't know whether the first is, in the books and bookstores this year is the subject matter of reincarnation. That is the biggest. There's so many books now. And even now, psychologists are engaging in what they call past life therapy. Big, big psychologists. They're all discussing with their course, it's all speculation for the purpose of milking the conditioned souls for their Lakshmi. But at the same time, that subject matter is floating through the air, because when they reject organized religion, that doesn't mean that their desire to live eternally is rejected. They may reject God and religion, but they will not reject the desire. They cannot reject the desire to live eternally. It's not possible because they're eternal. So they have to. That desire will be maintained. At no point, so if you ask someone on Samkirtan, you say, "Well, my dear sir, what about death? Do you give that any thought?" Like a person comes through, "Well, I got to go to a funeral." Well, like Maharaj said last night, it happens to the best of us. And it's a fact, you know. You say something like, "Well, we all got to face that sometime, you know." And they all go, "Yeah." Do you give that much thought? And then they immediately, you know, if they're with you at all, then they say yes or no. Yeah, well, that's what these books are about. These books are, they're meant to help us understand the real purpose, the real goal of life. You know what I mean? The real value of life. Because after all, we got to face this too, you know. And we don't want to be unprepared. That's what this book talks about. And I usually open the book up and I simply describe Sukadev and Parikshit's conversation. This was a young prince. And this was a young sage. And they had a conversation because he found out that he was going to be killed within 7 days. I mean, really, this is an interesting story. Take a look at this for a second. This young sage was considered by all these people to be the most learned person on the subject matter of birth and death. So he was describing the real goal of life. And this young prince was taking advantage. So we're out here to give everyone the opportunity to take advantage of these books. Give it a read, man. Pass it on. You believe in God, don't you? Well, yeah. Well, great. Guru would say like that. Great. Keep the fucking reading. And that's it. Practically, it's such a positive line. I was trying to express this, that actually more and more, we're simply selling all of the books on the basis of God, on the basis of Krishna, in the airports. Now, someone may say, well, you've been doing this so long, so many years, therefore you can you've learned how to do that in a certain way so that it's attractive. But actually, just like the young son in a family, he learns quicker than the first son because he has the opportunity to take advantage of all of the experience of the older brothers. So he learns immediately. Just like when book distribution first started, so many experiments were made as to how to say, you know, so many different things. And then it was passed on to so many others, and they would immediately begin distributing. It was no need for trial and error. They would simply apply what they had heard from the senior devotees, and immediately it would work. So, who is more senior than Krishna? And Krishna has given us the formula. And Prabhupada has given us the formula of how to distribute the fruits of Krishna consciousness. when one is completely absorbed in ecstasy and tasting that fruit, then he can actually give that fruit out very easily, just like Sri Rameshwar Maharaj was sitting here. So he said, he called me to the Vyasasana, and he said, so we should begin the Sankirtan class now. So I said, well, we're all learning. This is a great Sankirtan class. We're just watching you distribute the fruits. And we're learning how to distribute the fruits. Just distribute them. Just give them out. And those who are eager, they'll get them. They'll do anything to get them. They'll step on each other. They'll knock each other out of the way. Isn't it? So, similarly, those who are actually pious, they're actually eager for Krishna. They're actually eager for liberation from this mess in the material world. They're actually looking for something much, much higher than what they're tasting now. And if we're praying to Krishna sincerely to be allowed to come in contact with him, then Krishna will give us that opportunity. Why not? He doesn't want us to be in any anxiety. He doesn't want us to be unsuccessful. He's already stated that we will be successful. Prabhupada has said we will become successful. Success is guaranteed. We just have to have a little faith in the actual process of speaking about Krishna directly. So many different things can be said. So many different lines are there. But mostly, there are some general concepts which we present in the airport with every single person. Like, for example, so many people, I only speak about 15 or 20 seconds to, because I immediately detect that this person's very nice. He doesn't know what this is all about, really, but he's not rejecting me. There's no shield at all. He's not rejecting me at all. He didn't mind that I approached him. He didn't mind that I stopped him. He didn't mind that I shook his hand. He hasn't asked me why I'm asking him all these different questions. He's answering everything just like I'm a policeman. So I know this person is very right. So I just say, I give him the book and I say, what kind of work do you do anyway, man? Oh, I'm a cabinet maker. Wow, no kidding. That's wonderful. Cabinets don't build themselves, do they? I mean, it takes you to build them, isn't it a fact? My guy goes, yeah. And I go, yeah, just like a car. Or just like a house. It takes somebody behind it to build it. Isn't it a fact? And I go, and meanwhile, I'm opening the book and I'm showing him the book. I say, well, that's what this book explains. This book explains how just as a cabinet can't build itself, neither can this world build itself. I mean, you believe in God, man? And I ask him in a real, like, you know, like it's absurd if he doesn't. And it follows logically after what we just talked about that God loves him. He goes, oh, sure. Yeah, I believe in God. Well, great. That's what this book talks about. Understanding what a lot of people have forgotten. That there's someone else running this whole show. You know what I mean? Hey, keep the book with you and give it a read. I think you'll really get a lot out of it, you know? What religion are you? I'm a Catholic. Well, so am I. Great. Keep the book and read it. And then I just say, you know, it's a benefit, and I get a donation. And they give a donation. It's not even... Money is incidental. Actually, in many cases, isn't it? The money is actually incidental. It's like it just follows naturally. We just had a recent air crash in Chicago, so after this big air crash, 280 people were killed. So after that time, we worked this line out by Krishna's grace. We just started talking about the air crash because it was so much in everyone's mind for a week. So I'd say, where are you coming in from? I'm coming in from Los Angeles. Oh, really? Did you fly in a DC-10? You know, and they go... I go, oh, as a matter of fact, they're still down, aren't they? They go, yeah. Or sometimes they go, not me, I'm not getting on one of those DC-10s. And they make some crack like that, you know. And I say, yeah, well, I know what you mean. You know, people are losing faith in this civilization pretty quickly, you know, after a crash like that. I mean, think about it, 280 people, just like that. And I snap my finger right in front of their face, you know, just like that. And they go, yeah. And they agree, you know. I said, and immediately after, what was the result? Everyone wanted to know the cause. Was it the bolt? Was it the engine? And I start to paint a little picture for him. You know, was it the bolt? Was it the engine? Was it the pilot? Was it sabotage? You know what I mean? In other words, they wanted to know what the cause was, you know, because no one would accept that such a thing could take place without a cause. And that's logical, isn't it? Yeah. Meanwhile, he's looking at the book. Well, these books describe it. Just as nothing in this world could go on without a cause, similarly, nothing out there, and I point outside the window, nothing out there goes on without a cause. I mean, think about it. The sun still comes up in the morning. It doesn't go down in the morning. Everything's working so nicely, you know. Spring comes after the winter and before the summer. It never changes. Isn't it a fact? And they say, yeah. I said, well, these books are meant to help us see how just as behind everything here in this world there's a cause, similarly, up there there's got to be a cause. You believe in God, don't you? And I write just real fast. From that analogy, I just like slip it in. You believe in God, don't you? The guy goes, yeah. I go, well, that's what these books are about. How we can become conscious of God. And if the person's real pious, then I go, see right down here, it says International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Krishna is a name for, it's a Sanskrit. See, this is Sanskrit. Right here, this is the Sanskrit language. And these are Sanskrit words here. Purva, Vyasena, Tenaiva. And they're looking like that. And I go, well, there's a Sanskrit word for God, which is Krishna, or the all-attractive, or the all-powerful. So just imagine. And then I point off to the... And you may think, well, this happens once a day, but actually, it doesn't happen just once a day. It happens all day. We just talk about this all day. Devotees who follow us around will actually verify. They can't believe that the people are buying the books on this day. And they're just... And we simply say these simple little things. Like, look out there. I mean, you ever think about it, man? This whole world is just like a manifestation of everyone's crazy mind. I mean, look at this guy here. He's probably going to Atlanta. He's been planning this trip for how long, and who knows what he's going to do down there. And there's 60,000 people coming through this airport in the same mentality, you know? So their minds are all going all over the place. This is a book that's meant to help us have godly thoughts. Well, this is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, or God Consciousness. So can you imagine if everyone was their mind was filled with godly thoughts? Then I look at him and say, would there be war? And the guy goes, no. Would there be crime? No. Would there be pornography? No. And would people even think of having an abortion? And he goes, no way. And I go, well, these books are meant to produce godly thoughts, and if people have godly thoughts, this whole airport would be blissful. You know? This whole airport would be ecstatic. Isn't it a fact? And I just ask him, engage him. You talk to him just like another person. Like we've had so many experiences where people say, like one boy, one army boy, he said after we talked with him, remember Fredericks? I said, he came through and we preached him so nicely. He said that. He started walking around the airport just bumping into all the devotees, and he came up to us later and he said, wow, every time I meet you, you people are wonderful. He said, you're all like saints. It's like that. One, I was preaching to him about Krishna consciousness, and then another boy came by. He was kind of a slow boy who'd been discharged from the service. So I was talking to him, and generally you don't like to do your distribution in front of a karmic if you don't completely understand what's taking place. So I was hesitant to stop preaching to him and talk to this boy, but at the same time I was thinking, wow, this boy could be really sweet. So then the boy, somehow by Krishna's arrangement, he came back. And I had been preaching to the boy about four regulative principles. And the boy came back and said, excuse me, sir, do you know where I can get a pack of cigarettes? And I said, and I sent him the other direction. I said, yeah, the store is down there. Just go down a little ways and make a left. And the cigarette machine is right in there. So he said, thank you. And he walked to get a pack of cigarettes. So the guy said, I thought you said that you guys don't, advocate smoking. I said, well, the thing is, that I didn't exactly know where you were at, and I wanted to sell him a book, but I didn't know if you'd understand, so I sent him away, and I figured I'd finish talking to you, and then when we got done, I'd sell him a book when he came back. And the guy said, oh, all right. So I kept preaching to him, and then when the boy came back, he saw him before I did. He said, oh, here comes the boy. So as he's walking by, he said, well, come on. And I sold him a book, and he gave me a donation. And I turned around, and when I turned around, he had his money out and gave me a donation. Like that. So I was thinking, well, I don't want him to see it materially. But actually, If we preach nicely to them, then they won't see us materially. They won't see it like that. Only the demons will see it like that. Only the demons. So there's so many different things that we can say. Just like we say, we meet people. We just listen to tapes on the way to the airport in the morning. Prophets preaching about this or that, or Sri Ramaswamy Maharaj, or Sri Goswami Maharaj is preaching some point. And then we take that point and we just elaborate on it for the rest of the day. Like, remember we were listening to a series of lectures? Sri Prabhupada was speaking about the ideal man in society and how we have to cultivate ideal men. Prabhupada said, you become, if you love your country, Prabhupada said, you become ideal men. If you love America, then you become ideal men and save your country. And everyone would jive. Oh, God. So I was thinking, well, we were so enlivened when Prabhupada said that. So I thought, well, maybe the conditioned soul will also become enlivened. So I would say to people, like, where are you from anyway? Oh, I'm from Kansas. Oh, right on, man. Well, here, let me give you one of these to keep with you. We've been asked to give out about 400 or 500 copies to some of our passengers here today. Are you flying with us on Delta? And they'd say, oh, yeah. Oh, you're going down to Atlanta. No, I'm going down to New Orleans. Oh, great. Well, here, let me give you one of these to keep with you. There's some real beautiful thoughts that are meant to help us appreciate America. I mean, this is still the best country in the world to live in, don't you think? The guys from the Midwest, of course, will say, yeah. I mean, let's face it, there's a lot of bad here, but this country was founded on some pretty good principles, you know? And these are books that are meant to help us appreciate and understand how we can incorporate these principles in a real way within our life and become ideal men in society. I mean, you read the newspapers, isn't it a fact? You know, things are getting pretty heavy in the big cities, you know? That's because nobody's actually trying to become an ideal man. What kind of work do you do anyway? Oh, I'm a teacher. Oh, wow, you're training our future leaders. You know, and then they go, well, I'm trying. I said, well, that's what these books are meant to help us understand and appreciate. And I opened the Bhagavad Gita to the 16th chapter on the qualities of the divine person. And I read humility and tolerance and so many qualities. And I say, now, doesn't that sound like the old Boy Scout oath? Remember that? Were you a scout, man? You know, bravery, truthfulness, courtesy, kindness, you know. And I would rattle off a few. And they say, yeah. I mean, it's the same thing. This is what we're looking for, people who have these qualities. And we can't really find too many people in our society, our culture, who have these qualities. Isn't it a fact? And they say, yeah. I say, you believe in God, don't you? Right away. Just say, you believe in God, don't you? And they say, yeah. I say, well, if a person completely believed in God and was completely absorbed in God, he'd probably have these qualities, don't you think? And they would say, you know, yeah, or, well, I suppose, or to a degree. I'd say, well, this book is meant to help us understand how we can actually develop these qualities. Hey, keep it with you and give it a read, man. We got about 500 to pass out. Take it with you. Thanks a lot. You know, real, like, innocent, you know. And they take it. They take it. And there's no anxiety on the part of the devotee. We were thinking last night, we were watching this TV show. So one mother was preaching to one of the servicemen, Air Force. So she was saying things like, we're passing these out to all the handsome men today. You know, the girl that was bad rapping our movement was saying that the women use seductive techniques and so on. So the most they got was that she was saying, we're passing these out to all the handsome men today. So we were thinking, well, from that line, you can elaborate in so many ways to simply preach about the soul. If a girl approaches a man in the airport and she says, we're giving these out to all the handsome men today. And actually, there are a few handsome people left, you know. Even though we're eating all kinds of artificial food, breathing all kinds of artificial air, and drinking all kinds of artificial water, a few people are still handsome, you know. A few people are still attractive, you know. Isn't that a fact? The guy says, yeah. I mean, and then she could just point out in the airport. I mean, look, there's a lot of attractive people. I mean, everybody's working in this world based on this attraction, isn't it? They're attracted to this, or they're attracted to this person, or they're attracted to this thing. These are books that are meant to help us understand what is that we're really attracted to. I mean, you might say that you're a little attracted to me. Well, If you hit someone with such a blunt statement, what man will say no? I don't know any man in the material world who would say no. He said, well, he'd be embarrassed.
Well, yeah.
But actually, if I was dead, sir, would you be attracted to me at all? I mean, if I was sitting here completely dead, would you be attracted to me? You probably wouldn't even talk to me. I know if you were dead, I wouldn't talk to you. So actually, what you're attracted to is not this at all. I mean, actually, instead of pointing out, trying to be on the bodily concept, a woman, and say hello and so many things, and then attract a person, you simply say, I mean, actually, you're not really attracted to this at all. What you're really attracted to is me, and I'm inside this body. And actually, I'm talking to you, not your nose, not your ear, not your hair. I'm talking to you. You're the guy in the body. You're the soul. That's what these books are all about. How to come in touch with the soul. Ready? Grudemus. What do you say? Oh, about Krishna. The more we actually confront him. And actually, I have to say that more and more our preaching is like this because of the preaching of Srila Goswami Maharaj and the way he preaches in darshan. The way he preaches to the devotees is that he doesn't avoid the point or the issue. He doesn't allow anything to get too... Sometimes we get into the philosophy and the social aspect or the economic aspect or so many different things, you know, preaching about Varnashram Dharma. But actually, people have to be confronted in order to accept this movement. They have to be confronted with the fact that they're going to die. They have to be confronted with the fact that they're not the body, that this life is short, temporary, and not so sweet. And that they have to make a solution to this problem immediately. And we are offering a solution to this problem. So when we approach them on this basis, then they can actually appreciate. They really appreciate. These are beautiful books that are meant to help us understand natural laws, you know, that we're all subject to. You know what I mean? What kind of work do you do? I'm a lawyer. No kidding. Well, you can understand. You're a lawyer. I mean, let's face it. Your business is to protect people who break the law from suffering. Because people that break the law, they suffer. You know, isn't it a fact? And people that break the law, they cause others to suffer. So whether you break the law today or a week from today or 2 weeks from today, the same law holds. So there's so many basic laws. You know what I mean? And people are, you know, because they don't really understand what these laws are, they're a little bit ignorant of the laws, therefore they're breaking them, and they're making a few mistakes. And consequently, there's so much suffering in the world. You got to admit that, isn't that a fact? I mean, you read the paper. And there isn't a lick of good news in there. And they all go, yeah. I go, that's because people are breaking all the natural laws. Just like, and then I say, sometimes I say, you know, like, remember about in the 1500s, there was a guy named Newton, and he discovered a law. What was it? And they all say, gravity. I go, right. Now, if he jumped off an apple tree in the 1500s, he would have broke his neck. Now, if you jump off that, and I just point up to the, you know, the top of the airport. If you jump off the top of this airport, what would be the result? And they say, I would break my neck, or break my bones, or break my back. Or I go, right. The same law holds. It's not that law that he discovered, you know, 500 years ago has changed. It's the same law. So there's other laws, too. Like there's laws that we all have to grow old. We all have to die. We all have to get sick. Isn't it a fact? Nobody's escaped that. These are books that are meant to help us understand how we can actually live in harmony with those natural laws so that we can actually become happy. I mean, isn't it a fact? Isn't this what everybody's looking for? Happiness? Yeah, right on, man. Hey, well, good luck. You believe in God, don't you? Yeah. Well, great. Read the book. Pass it on to a couple of your friends. The person's really pious. When I send them off, I shake their hand and say, hey, look, do me a favor, say a prayer for me. And it's like the whole conversation is just so, it's like a confessional box or something, you know? It's almost like that. It's like, and they don't come back. They never come back. And so many young people, we can give them books on this basis. Vaishasika Prabhu has he walks up to people and he says, he just is so overwhelmingly ecstatic. And where is Vaishasika? Why don't you give us your pure love of God description? It's real short. Just come up here for a second. So, Vaishasika, when he meets people, he's 6'3", and he just towers over him like a demigod. Can't imagine the expression of his face. We all remember him watching his face. This is all comes in contact with him. Sounds like eating Gruden.
Good luck, sir. If you're here in Chicago, write it down. I've read it. Well, here, let me give you one of these to keep with you. These are some beautiful thoughts meant to wake up our pure love for God. You believe in God, don't you, sir? Well, good. Give it a read. Make sure you pass on to a few friends when you get home, okay? Thanks a lot. What's your first name? Listen, there's no cost. What we do here, it's a benefit. We're trying to spread love of God around the world, so we just ask everyone to throw in a donation for the Lord. Can you help out? And it's practically a fact that because Krishna is the most famous, everyone's either believes in God or has heard of God. But it's amazing when you just bring it to that platform, you see that everyone actually believes in God. It's very rare to find a person where you say, you believe in God, right? And they say, no. Pretty rare.
Well, what's the cost of your existence? You know? And I look right at it. Where do you come from? And it's like they never thought about that, you know? They're so brainwashed. And I say, really? Well, what's the cost of your existence? And the guy goes, no cause. And I go, oh, come on. I say, at least, you mean you don't even have any parents? You know, well, yeah, I got parents. Well, do they got parents? I go, yeah, they got parents. Well, do they got parents? They go, yeah. I go, well, do they got parents? Well, which one of them didn't have parents? And it's like, they never, it's so simple and logical, you know, that they can't, they go, oh, come on, I don't want, no, no, really, man, seriously, think about this for a second. And now if they're impious, they'll leave. But if they're pious, then they stay. That's all. And they listen. And one boy, he was a big Harvard student, a university student, and he said that there was no cause. I said, look, everything in this world is an effect. Everything has a cause. Everything you see has an effect. It is an effect, and everything has a cause. Now, you give me one example of something without a cause. He said, well, look, yeah, that's a pretty simplistic approach. I said, yeah, because it's so simple. Now, you give me one simple example. I said, I'm going to approach it simply. Now you approach it simply. You give me one simple example of something coming. And I won't even ask you to give me any example of something conscious. Because that's a little difficult. I mean, you've got to admit, consciousness is pretty far out. Let's just talk about matter. Give me an example of one material thing, one material element that just, bing, it just popped up out of nowhere. Yeah, it just was, you know. He goes, oh, come on, this is ridiculous, man. This is getting, no, really, man. Just give me one example. Just give me one example. And he goes, that's the trouble with you people. You people, you've got all the answers, you know. Like one group of students we met last week in the airport, they all came up and one boy walked by and he said there was no God. Bam, I hit him with this question and a whole group of students stood around and they listened while I completely smashed them. The police came and they all stood and listened, and the airport security. And because the conversation was so much about God, no one wanted to interrupt or break up. They all just, you know. So finally, one boy started getting into the conversation, and I would just repeat Prabhupada's statements. And he just completely, he lost all courage. So one boy said, hey, Johnny, you better stop. Slow down. Get out of this conversation. This guy's trained to do this, you know. I tell you, he's out here, he practices every day, I'll bet. I bet he practices every day. you know. And the boy that I was talking to, was his mouth was shaking and quivering, you know, and he was saying that there's no Christian. And I was saying, and I said, God exists. And I said it real loud. He says, you have to disprove it. So the result of this is that the devotees become completely ecstatic. You become completely intoxicated when you realize more and more how deeply everyone is in ignorance and how simple this pure philosophy of Krishna consciousness is, how bright it is. It is brilliant, just like the sun. And as soon as the sunlight of this philosophy enters within the ear of these pious people, then they become ecstatic. One man, last week, one atheist came up, and he said, he challenged us. He watched us distribute for a few minutes in America. And then he challenged, he came over to me and he said something like, why don't you go home to your family? I said, sir, come on, I'm 28 years old. I mean, I don't think my mother would have me even if I wasn't a devotee, you know? He said, well, why don't you do something useful for society? I said, well, what do you do, sir? And he said what he did, and I said, well, that's pretty useful. And I began to point out how it was completely ridiculous. What he was doing was a complete waste of time. And then I said, of course, if you don't believe there's God, then what you do is probably, you know, in terms of your philosophy, pretty useful. Do you believe in God? He said, no. I said, well, I say there is God. God exists. Now, you can't understand God as a person or God as this or God as that, but I say God is the controller, and you're completely controlled. And from there, the conversation elaborated. So a bunch of businessmen came and stood around while we began to preach to this man. And they listened, you know, and they started hearing. And one man was really particularly interested. So finally, this man was completely demoralized in the face of Prabhupada's words. So he just made some crack and he left. And the other man, the people that were watching, they all looked at each other and said, you know, something like, you know, these kids are on the ball, you know. And one guy, he started watching the devotees very closely. And then he came over to Bopadeva, and he said, what are these books, you know? What are you passing out here? And Bopadeva started telling him, they're spiritual books on ancient philosophy from the East. And the man became very curious, and he took the book. And he said, well, actually, I'm into spiritual healing. He was from Canada. So Bopadeva said, hey, Pragosh, this guy's into spiritual healing. I said, no kidding. I walked over, you know. And he said, he had made some comment that he had heard us preaching to these men. And he said, I was very interested to find out what you were speaking about. So then we asked him for a donation, and he gave $20. And I said, well, can I give you change for a 20? And he pulled out, and he gave me another 20. I said, actually, let me break the other 20, too. So he gave me $60. And I said, wait a minute. I said, actually, you're a very special soul. And I pulled out Bhagavad Gita. And I said, I'm going to give you this book. And I pulled it up, and as soon as I got it about like this in front of me, I went, the Bhagavad Gita. He grabbed it and says, keep all the money. Like that. And so then the man said, I said, actually, we try to get $100 for these books. These are rare books. And the man said, I'll give you $100. And reached in as well, and he pulls out $100, and he goes into the bathroom and pulls out $100. And first he said, you can give me the 60 back, and then he gave me the 100. And he said, just keep it all, you know. And then we preached to him, and Garudama came up and preached to him again, preached to him some more. So we gave him a real shot of the philosophy. So there's so actually, Prabhupada said to us long ago that actually Krishna is within the heart of every single devotee. And he can give every single devotee proper understanding of how to spread Krishna consciousness, how to preach to these conditioned souls. So every single person here has this capability of speaking to these people in such a way as to wake up their Krishna consciousness, even a little bit. And that little bit of Krishna consciousness is more than they've had. Sometimes I say to them, sometimes I say to them that you've never heard anything like this, have you, man? You know, I mean, I've given you more in this last 5 minutes than you've heard your whole life, isn't it, fact? And they go, yeah. And I go, well, look, keep the book and give a donation. We're printing these up to pass them out all over the world. We're missionaries. You know, and then they just give a donation. just on that basis. So we don't have that much time, but I mean, this, we could discuss this. My only regret is that we have to leave immediately back to Chicago, because actually, I mean, I'm speaking, but I'm sitting among so many wonderful Sankirtan devotees who themselves are realizing Krishna and realizing Krishna's opulences and qualities, and they're distributing these books on the merit of these books so nicely that we could discuss. Like last week we had a class in Chicago, a Bhagavatam class. So at the class, the sunlight burst through the window on the floor, right? So we said, today we're going out on Sankirtan. We're going to preach. Everyone's going to their various preaching engagements. So let us all try to remain Krishna conscious. And just like the sun, there's the sun. From the sun, there are so many examples of Krishna consciousness that can be had or seen in Prabhupada's books. There's so many examples of the sun. So we ask the devotees, can you give an example of this the sun in relationship to the philosophy? How you can remember Krishna and the philosophy of Krishna consciousness by thinking of the sun. So we ended up speaking for about another hour, almost. Every devotee had like a storehouse of examples from Prabhupada's books of how one could be Krishna conscious by just thinking of the sun. And we were sitting there. We didn't want to go out on Sankirtan. We just wanted to talk about the sun. And then we thought, well, if we talked about the moon, or if we talked about, just use the word personal, or personalism, or the word dot, and if everyone here allowed their fertile mind to dig through Prabhupada's purports and books and Krishna's examples, there are so many examples of the Krishna consciousness through the sun. Can anybody give an example of Krishna from the sun? Just one example of Krishna? Krishna is the sun planet. He's all the variegatedness of this material world is coming about by Krishna's arrangement. There's so many examples. Can anyone give another example of the sun planet in relationship to Krishna consciousness? Bobby and Ryan? Examples? We stand in Maya, then we don't take advantage of Krishna. Any other examples of the sun? Mother Bhumi. Where is that glory from San Diego? There's one example of the this is a good example how the sun It was in competition with the wind to see if they could make a man take off his coat. So the wind blew and blew and blew and blew and blew. And the man held tighter and tighter and tighter. And didn't get the man's coat off at all. And then the sun came up, and the man, the second man, the sun came up and smiled, and the man took off his coat immediately. What was the apology? We try so many ways. Another way to look at that is also to say that a man can get all good qualities if he becomes Krishna consciousness, Krishna conscious. When the son of Krishna rises, then all good qualities automatically become manifest. Whereas if he's not Krishna conscious, then as try as they might to become pious or to become humble or to become courageous or something, it's not possible. So immediately, as soon as one becomes Krishna conscious, then all qualities are there. Yeah, everyone. Tripurari Maharaj is simply speaking to people about the soul, and everyone's taking books. That's actually what takes place. They become ecstatic for a moment. They become completely ecstatic. If they're pious, they have to accept. So there are so many we could discuss for hours. And actually, you should do like this. You can all come together like this and discuss Krishna consciousness. So many senior devotees here in Los Angeles, so many senior preachers, senior distributors, and there's so many people on this coast, like Bhadra and Ryan, who have been reading Prabhupada's books for years. So if you take shelter of these devotees and learn how to speak nicely to the conditioned soul, then they'll take these books. Every man, every woman could distribute unlimited quantities of books. That is Prabhupada's assurance. If we simply recognize that the conditioned souls are not their body, but they're actually spirit soul, they have an eternal relationship with Krishna, which is right now lost and forgotten, and we want to revive that. And we want to ask Krishna to help us with each person, with each particular person. We should be praying. When I shake someone's hand, actually I'm praying with each person. I don't just pray in the morning and then go through the day and then pray at night. But praying on each with each person. I'm looking at him and I'm thinking, oh, Krishna, please give me the right thing to say to this person so that he will actually understand and accept what I'm saying, and praying for the pious people, pious souls, and by the end of the day, you actually feel clean. You don't feel discouraged or disgusted or demoralized or unenlivened, or maybe your result was not so huge, but that doesn't have anything to do with your enlivenment. You become enlivened because you're realizing more Krishna. So the Sankirtan devotees should come together like this and discuss how to realize Krishna amongst themselves. And then when this realization takes place, then when you're out with the conditioned soul, you'll actually feel like you're carrying on a conversation with them. You're actually discussing Krishna consciousness with them. You know what I mean, man? I mean, you just say that to them constantly. You know what I mean, man? You follow me, right? I mean, it's plain to see. I mean, a lot of times when I say some analogy that helps us understand as a controller, I say, I mean, it's as clear as the nose on her face, you know? It's only propaganda that's making people think otherwise. Isn't that a fact? And they go, yeah. So if we can come absorbed in this mood, preaching to the conditioned souls, repeating Prabhupada's teachings to us, then you'll find that you're not feeling forced to go out on Sankirtan or feeling any, you can't even think of staying back in the temple. It's like it doesn't even enter your mind. You don't even think of it because you can't think. You realize there's 2 million, sometimes I say to the karmis, how is it you've become so insensitive? I mean, you say you're not suffering, but think about it. I know you're not suffering. That's why I'm talking to you. You and me got to do something about the rest of the people that are suffering. I mean, I take them in like my buddy and I say, but I know you're not suffering. If you were suffering, I wouldn't talk to you. But you're not suffering. That's why I'm talking to you. You know, you got to take some responsibility for all these people who are. If they feel like that, then they go, look, I'm not suffering, man. I know you're not suffering. That's why we're out here. We don't go to the hospital and preach. They're not going to jump out of their bed and come out here with me, you know. But you can. I mean, think about it, man. There's so many people dying in this country, that country. So many wars are taking place. So many things. Or, you know, you can elaborate on so many points, you know. I mean, I know you're not experiencing that, but many people are. That's why we're here. We want to give these books out because many people are experiencing this suffering, and we want to put an end to it. Now, you're not a God. You believe in God, right? No. Why? Well, because if there was a God, he wouldn't allow for all this suffering. Well, maybe he doesn't want them to suffer any more than you or I do. But maybe they want to suffer. Maybe they want to do something which is not supposed to be done, and therefore they're suffering. I mean, when you were a kid, you probably broke a few of your father's laws in the house, right? And you had to suffer. So we've all broken so many laws in our father. Like sometimes people will say, well, look, what are you pushing me so much for, man? Like they'll say like that. They'll say, you're coming on so... Well, look, man, you're my brother. And we both got the same father. And right now, you're not following our father's laws. That's why mother's talking to you, man. And they actually feel it. You know, they actually feel it. They don't feel like it's artificial, man. I mean, you were brothers. And it's like such an innocent statement, you know. I'm out here because I want you to understand, you know, your best friend. I want you to remember your best friend. I mean, look, Mary, how long have you known him? Oh, about 3 years. Aren't you enlivening in his association? She looks up at him. Yeah. Well, Bill, I mean, how long have you known her? 3 years. Well, aren't you enlivening her association? You go, yes. But you've only known each other 3 years. God's known you for a lifetime. You know? And actually, you've known him for a long time, too. Think of how enlivened you'll be in his association. This book's meant to give you his association. Keep it and read it, man. Take care. Good luck. Just like that, right on, man. And sometimes they look at each other like, yeah. and they take the book. And you may say these are just stories, but it's not just a story. These things are going on all the time. So, little Swami Maharaj is calling for us to come over to his apartment because we have to leave very shortly. So, a couple of questions, real quick. Have a little experience. Again, I don't want to speak outside of the realm of, you know, the statement of Goswami is that you have to learn how to do it directly, and I've never experienced it directly, so I can only say do it directly. Otherwise, I can't be speculation. If I go out and sell candy, then but I'm not going to go out and sell candy. Well, they can't be that impious if they get $150. Sometimes they get $150. They can't be that impious. One man I met in Chicago recently, I was shaking his hand, and he said, "Oh, you are my first friend in America." And I was shaking his hand, and he was looking at me. He was, "We're coming, we're coming." And I was shaking his hand, and he was giving me donations, $50, and I was asking for more and more and more. And my friend walked up, and I said, "Tomodachi, give him also." He couldn't have been that impious. Well, I'm speaking right now specifically in terms of here in America. I'm speaking to Americans, preaching in America. I mean, the philosophy holds for everywhere, but Prabhupada says you have to learn time, place, and circumstance. According to time, place, and circumstance, you can distribute Krishna consciousness. But this Prabhupada has given us the mission to make America Krishna conscious. And these Americans are ready to become Krishna conscious. So we have to take this up as our life's mission to make these people Krishna conscious. And if we all feel dedicated to this activity of going out for 30, 50, 60 years and giving people books about Krishna, be assured, Prabhupada said so many times, you just go on Sankirtan your whole life and distribute books, and you'll go back to the audience. And after a while, when you're out there, you'll realize that you're already back to God. There's no worry about going back because you're already there. You'll actually realize that. Oh, yeah. Can we do it the other way? Could I give you change for a 20 vehicle that you can give me that 10, I think?
Exception, then it might be problematic.
If it's an integral,
if it's intermittent.